Good day.
Good day, Elias. You brought some wonderful weather with you. This is Veronica. It's a pleasure and a wonderful opportunity to speak to you.
Welcome.
I would like to address body consciousness and regeneration. I've been given the term myo something rheumatica, meaning the doctors have told me that I have rheumatoid arthritis. And we have spoken, and I am relearning Reiki, and I'm doing acupuncture with a wonderful person, a Dr. K. And during our last session, Dr. K advised me to cut down on my prednisone usage, which is 5 milligrams, alternating with 2.5 milligrams every other day. I tried lessening it.
Veronica, I wonder if I should interrupt here, because this is more like a group session rather than like a personal session. So the topics tend to be of a more like a group nature rather than personal questions. I probably didn't make that clear in the beginning.
But that is acceptable was about to open this session for individual questions, and therefore it is acceptable that she is presenting her question. And after that is completed, each individual may have the opportunity to engage their own individual questions. Continue.
Thank you, Mary. Yes, so I lessened my dosage of the prednisone because my body... Hello?
Continue.
Hello? Yes, because my body hurt too much. My neck and my shoulders were filled with this terrible pain. Now, perhaps this becomes a chronic issue, which is a habit, but I am attempting to kick the habit. I don't want it. I am just wondering how long the regeneration process takes. I mean, when can the body function normally? When we are working, I don't know what verb, when we are paying attention to becoming healthy and improved functioning of the body consciousness, an examination of our beliefs. And I feel much better on the prednisone, but at the same time, I'm concerned that the immune system may continue to attack itself on its own. And I just do not know what to do. And also, when we are working on the body consciousness and we apply our own energy, like, you know, the functioning energy in my fingernails, and I apply that healing energy to joints that are hurting, is that as successful a treatment or a modality as Reiki? I understand it is my energy and universal energies versus the Reiki, which is a very popular healing modality. Is there any difference between the two? I was wondering if you could comment on that.
Very well. To begin with, what influenced you to not move in the direction of the other medication with your physician?
I do not see him till the end of March, March 28th. So I am continuing with the prednisone, which is a couple of months.
Very well. First, I will express to you that if you have incorporated this particular type of medication or any of them that are similar to them, these steroidal medications, when you have incorporated that for an ongoing time framework, the body becomes accustomed to that and it begins to function in a manner in which it is accustomed to the medication masking the symptoms. It doesn't alter the manifestation. It doesn't cure it, so to speak. It doesn't actually change it. What it does is it creates an interruption of signals that your body is expressing, and the body becomes accustomed to that interruption of signals. Therefore, when you stop incorporating that medication, the body reacts, and it is likely that you will experience this uncomfortableness or pain, because the steroidal medications are not medications that actually alter the physical manifestation. Therefore, when you stop or you decrease them, that interrupts that signal blocking and you experience the uncomfortableness or pain. Now, in relation to your question about Reiki and moving energy, Reiki is a very effective tool and can be very helpful in many situations in relation to healing. Because in that, you actually are manipulating energy in relation to the physical manifestation and instructing the body consciousness differently. In relation to what you were expressing in regard to fingernails and the energy of that, if you are generating healthy or what you perceive as healthy fingernails. I understand what you are expressing, incorporating some
energy here.
Yes, some aspect of your body consciousness that you recognize is expressing in a healthy capacity and moving that energy to other parts of your body that are affected in a manner that you perceive to be unhealthy or are dysfunctioning. And is that effective? Yes, it can be. But the difficulty or the challenge with these types of actions is that this is not merely a matter of thinking. thinking doesn't create your reality. Thinking does not actually move energy. Thinking is a translating mechanism, and therefore it doesn't actually produce any type of actions. Therefore, can you move energy from one part of your body to another part of your body to encourage a healing method? Yes, you can. But it isn't a matter of merely thinking. It is a matter of actually being aware of that energy and actually moving it to a different area of the body consciousness. But it is not only that action. In relation to healing, when you are manipulating energy, when you are moving energy, the first aspect is to target the affected area and move the energy back to the center. When the body consciousness generates any type of malfunction in any particular area, it radiates energy outward. It moves it away from the center point. And this is also what creates pain. In this, as you radiate that energy outwardly from the center point, it weakens the center point. And that is the point. That is a natural action because that center point is already affected and it is generating a reactive expression or action that is natural, in which the body consciousness radiates the energy outward from that center point to dissipate the intensity of it, which also is the body's method of not concentrating that energy in that center point and therefore creating more of a dysfunction. But in order to generate that healing process with that center point, whatever is being physically affected, it is important that the first action that you do is move all that energy that has radiated out, and now that center point is weakened, back to the center point to strengthen it. And in that process, you can be including energy from other parts of the body that you perceive are healthy and are functioning in their natural capacity, and therefore strengthen the energy at that center point. But the challenge in that is that it isn't merely a matter of thinking about it. It is.
No, I actually do it. I physically do it.
Very well. In that, yes, you can move energy from what you perceive to be a healthy area of your body, and you can move it to encourage a healing process in an affected part of your body, along with that energy that you're moving back to the center point. All of that energy that has radiated out, moving that back to the center point to strengthen that center point and therefore encourage that healing process. It is also a matter of paying attention to whatever area of the body is affected in what it is communicating to you. Recognizing that your body, as with everything, is all interconnected. Therefore, the body generates many different signals, not only pain. It is a matter of listening to those signals and acknowledging them and, to a degree, following them, discerning what is a communication that is important for you to pay attention to, such as if you also feel fatigued. It is your body communicating to you to be engaging less activity and nurturing that aspect of the body that is affected and giving it the opportunity to heal by not expecting it to be functioning more than is necessary. If you, let us say, are incorporating some physical manifestation with a joint, such as your knee, and it is painful, and you also feel fatigued, this is your body communicating to you to rest. And the reason is because if you are continuously walking and using that knee, you are incorporating more stress on the affected area, and in that it does not allow it time to generate that action of healing. Healing requires a considerable amount of energy. This is the reason that when you are injured or when you are ill, you feel tired. It isn't that you have a limited amount of energy, you don't, but it requires a considerable amount of energy to be generating that action of healing. And the body must concentrate that energy in specific areas of the body consciousness, whereas that energy in a usual time framework in which you are not dysfunctioning or ill, that energy is distributed throughout your entire body equally, and you have a considerable amount of it. But when you are ill or when you have experienced an injury, the body automatically shifts most of the energy other than what is absolutely required for functioning, such as with all of your organs. Your energy is distributed in relation to what is necessary to function, but it pulls a tremendous amount of energy to the affected area. In that, it is attempting to heal itself. But if you are not listening to that, then it thwarts that activity, and the body incorporates much more difficulty in actually generating that healing. It will do it, but it will incorporate much, much more time. And that is what you notice, that it seems to be moving in very lengthy time frameworks, that you continue to experience this discomfort. It will heal faster if you are being gentle with yourself and nurturing that.
Doing is helpful.
Yes.
But not sufficient.
It is sufficiently helpful, but it may not be all optimally, and therefore it may require more time.
I see. Do you see the body consciousness being directed with more optimism or more insight as to how it can perform better? Instead of believing that the body needs to break down as I age, I've changed my beliefs about that. I guess there's still some remainder, but do you see that the body consciousness is performing better since I've addressed to those beliefs?
There is a change.
But not significant, right?
That depends on your definition of significant. It is not gone, obviously, and
right.
It is not entirely healed, once again, obviously, but
right.
It is changing.
Which is a positive
yes.
situation.
Yes.
Okay, all right. And, excuse me, one can never give the body too much healing energy. Like acupuncture and healing and Reiki.
Actually, in practices, you could.
Oh. Have I been?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. So I suppose setting up a routine for these practices might be helpful. One day doing using a modality, and then the next day refraining and just resting.
Yes.
And then the third. Okay. And then the third day using an alternate.
Yes. That
it
would.
It doesn't have to be a religious thing.
Correct.
Uh huh. Okay. All right.
Very well.
Okay.
We shall move to the next individual.
You
are very welcome, my friend.
Elias?
Yes.
While we're here on this subject, this is Wendy Maisha. It's good to talk to you.
And you also, my friend.
I do Reiki. I mean, I actually have a little practice, but I also am dealing with aging beliefs, and about 6 months ago, I had a mild stroke. It wasn't severe, but it stopped me in my tracks because I was tootling along on a whole different route. And several months after that, I was laid off from my job. So it was, you know, I mean, it was victim plus, but I knew I shouldn't go in that direction, and I tried not to. I feel like actually it was kind of a new beginning, because I've talked to you about my job, and I was uncomfortable in it, but you were telling me that some of my assumptions were not really beneficial. I mean, I was like, this job is bullshit. And that was was true, but I didn't like what I was doing, so. But I've got to generate some income. I'm trying to be open-minded about that, but I'm paying more attention to myself because I was forced to. I mean, for a while, I had to think about every step I took. And I still have to pay attention when I'm walking down the street. Okay, well, what do I want to ask? I guess I want to ask, how can I most positively deal with these things? I was putting a lot of stress on myself about getting a job. I mean, a lot of stress. And I know that's not a good thing. But do you have a suggestion about how I'm doing with my energy or how to move my energy in a beneficial direction?
Very well. I would acknowledge you tremendously and express that you have turned considerably.
Thank you.
That was definitely a significant signal for you.
A wake-up call?
Yes, I would agree. I would definitely agree. And in that, I would express that it was successful and that you are paying more attention and you are noticing more of your own expressions and paying attention to how you are responding in different situations and being aware of stress and expressions that are not necessarily beneficial to you. What I would express to you, my friend, is give yourself permission to incorporate a brief time framework to genuinely assess what interests you. What you genuinely enjoy and what interests you, and then add to that what skills you have. And you have many skills. You have acquired many skills and developed many skills throughout your life. Add to what you enjoy and what you are interested in those identifications of what skills you have learned, what your perception is of what you do well, therefore, in your terminology, what you assess you are good at. Whether it is in relation to a job or not, merely evaluate those subjects that you perceive that you are good at. Then add to that skills that you have learned in relation to your jobs that you have incorporated through your life. And each one has given you more experience and more skills and more knowledge. Therefore, combine all of that together and use your creativity and your imagination to combine all of that and, in a manner of speaking, invent some action, some activity that you could generate that would be satisfying to you. It isn't merely a matter of thinking about what you like to do now, but rather incorporating more of a view of the whole picture of you. Looking at the whole of you. Rather
than doing that a bit.
And in that, give yourself permission to not be worried about what you will do, because that blocks your ability to inspire yourself. Inspiration is born out of imagination. But imagination can be blocked by concern and worry and focusing on what you think of as the real and practical world.
Well, I'm pursuing something at the moment which is wild and interesting. It's teaching Chinese children English on the internet. And
excellent.
Well, it's upsetting me because I keep having to sort of go through these little auditions with, you have to put on a show. It's like you're in a cartoon. And I like their platform. I like how they're doing it. But it's, I keep having to go through all these hoops to get going on it. And I'm wondering if it's distracting me from that kind of process you're talking about, because, you know, that is actually going on a little bit here.
What I would say to you, my friend, is I very much understand that moving through some processes can be frustrating, especially if you are focused on the end goal.
Yeah.
But you don't have to focus on the end goal. You already know what that is. You already know what you want. You already know what your intention is. What I would express is, this is a very common pitfall, in a manner of speaking, for most individuals, that you see an avenue that interests you, that you want to engage, and that is satisfying, but the process of accomplishing that seems to be frustrating and tedious and annoying, and in that, what you are doing is, actually, there are several actions that you are doing. First of all, it moves you in a direction in which you are concentrated on those outside sources and becoming frustrated because your automatic association is that these outside sources are preventing you from doing what you want to do.
Yes.
Because you are concentrated on that rather than concentrated on you and the process.
Guilty.
Knowing that whatever it is, whatever the steps are, they are part of your process. And in not being present with the process, it is very easy to become annoyed and irritated and impatient. And it, in a manner of speaking, takes away from the end goal. What you genuinely want to do and what you are motivated to do becomes less and less attractive because you are more and more irritated and frustrated and annoyed with the process. The point in all of that is the process is what is the most important. Because the process is the action in which you learn.
You know, Elias, this morning when I was taking my walk, and I focus, you know, on certain things and sort of try to pull everything together in a good way. I felt like part of myself was talking to me, and it was saying, "What's she gonna make us do today?" And then I went, "Oh no!" That really got me. I mean, so I started going, "Hey, I'm not alone here. I gotta pay attention," you know. And it was really like, you know, don't be like you're dragging yourself through this. You know, it.
And you aren't alone. Ever. And I would very much acknowledge you and encourage you to be listening to that voice. For it is incorporating wisdom in what it is expressing to you. I would say to you a tremendous encouragement that if you are not fighting with the process, there is volumes to be learned and to experience. And when you are engaging the process and you aren't fighting with it, you also open more doors than you initially thought were available.
That's what you told me about my other job. It's true.
And in that, I would express that this is actually an excellent example. Because this type of action occurs with many, 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 many individuals in which they may be in a situation and they may be presenting to themselves challenges and not necessarily entirely listening to what they are presenting to themselves or not seeing it. And if you don't, it will present itself again in another form.
One more thing. As far as the stroke and my bodily energy and the rest of my energy, are things flowing okay? I'm on high blood pressure medication now. Are things flowing okay?
Yes, for the most part. Although I would very much encourage you to be paying attention to that pushing aspect.
Okay.
Because that changes the energy and it is not beneficial for you. And it is not healthy.
That was the problem, right?
Yes. Yes. That is the lesson in your terms.
And I learned a lot when I was in the hospital, having not talked to a doctor for about 26 years. But, you know, I just went with it. And people were very kind.
And I would express that you deserve that. That kindness, that nurturing. Now it is a matter of giving it to yourself.
Yes.
You are very welcome, my friend.
Hi, Elias.
Yes.
I would like to ask a question, please. I would like to know what I can do to help my partner resume a more normal relationship with me.
In what capacity?
In the capacity of cohabitating and being in a relationship that's more common as a wife and those kind of things.
And what would you express is the most challenging aspect at this point?
I think it's my difficulty with the process and how long it takes and my impatience.
The first aspect that I would express to you is that it is more a matter of you paying attention to you and what you are doing than focusing on your partner and how you can help your partner. If you are paying attention to you and you are moving in directions that are honoring you and honoring your partner, that in itself, being an example, will be helpful, or more helpful than any words you can express. I would suggest that you practice noticing expectations. What you want from the other individual, what you want them to do or what you want them to not do. That is a significant piece. And in being aware of that and catching yourself in relation to what your expectations are in regard to your partner, that will also be very helpful. I would also express that, remember, there are three factors in partnership relationships. There is you, there is your partner, and there is the relationship. The relationship requires as much attention and encouragement and nurturing as do you and your partner individually. Therefore, it is a matter of recognizing what the relationship is. A relationship with another individual is sharing. You are choosing to be engaged with another individual as a partner, and in choosing that, you are choosing to share yourself, your experiences, your life with them. In that doesn't mean that you expect from them. It means you share and you involve yourself with the other individual. And what I would say to you is a significant piece of that is, once again, not moving in the direction of allowing feelings to dictate behavior. Meaning, not allowing feelings to motivate you in a particular direction, or the lack of feelings to hinder you from expressing. Therefore, you can be involved and sharing even if you don't feel it. Or you can be feeling motivated in a particular direction that you want to engage the other individual in certain manners, but it is a matter of evaluating whether acting on those feelings is to your greatest benefit at the time. Remembering that feelings are not an indicator of what type of energy you are projecting. What you are doing is the indicator. Therefore, it is a matter of being mindful, being aware that you are involving yourself, which can be challenging at times, especially if the other individual is not necessarily extending invitations. But you don't require an invitation to involve yourself with your partner because you have that relationship and you are moving in a direction of maintaining it and encouraging it to grow. This is one of the most significant aspects of couples that contribute to the demise of their relationships is that they don't nurture the relationship in regard to how it is changing. You change, your partner changes, the relationship must change with you. It cannot remain the same, or it dies. Therefore, it is a matter of, from your perspective and from your input, recognizing that the relationship requires input from both of you, but from your aspect of nurturing the relationship, it is a matter of recognizing how you can be implementing actions and choices that grow the relationship, that allow it to change and evolve. And at times that can be challenging, and it may even be difficult because individuals are not always comfortable with changing relationships. But when you allow them to change, then you allow them to grow. And in that, I would express that it is also important to practice that patience, that allowance. You aren't waiting for something to change. It is a matter of changing it and allowing it to unfold.
Can you explain that, please? How do I change it and yet allow it to go on its own course?
Very well. You observe different aspects of the relationship and evaluate what you see or what you perceive would be a benefit to change, let us say. Let us say, hypothetically, that you are aware that the communication between yourself and the other individual is not consistent, or that you aren't always sharing with each other what you are experiencing or what you are thinking and feeling, which is not to say that you always have to be sharing what you are thinking and feeling, but there is a significant piece of that in association with intimate relationships, because that is what creates that intimacy, is that type of sharing. Therefore, in this hypothetical example, let us say that you notice that significant periods of time can occur in which you are pleasantly or in a neutral capacity interacting with each other, but you aren't actually sharing with each other in much of a capacity. And let us say that you notice that. Therefore, you make a choice to implement a change, meaning you choose to begin to share more and to engage more with your partner. That is a choice that you are engaging to implement a change. But then there is also the aspect of allowance, of that patience, allowance of that to unfold. That doesn't mean that if you are generating this change, that your partner will immediately be responsive and immediately follow and express the same change. They likely won't, because it requires time for them to recognize what is different and evaluate whether they like what is different or whether they don't like what is different or whether it is inspiring to them or whether it is uncomfortable for them. Therefore, that is the allowance part, is that you don't stifle yourself or wait to implement the changes that you perceive are important to you in relation to your interaction or what you are doing or what you see in the relationship and how you can be nurturing it and how you can be maintaining it in a manner that encourages it to grow. You don't wait to do that. You aren't waiting for cues from the other individual. You are implementing based in what information you have and your perception of what will be beneficial to the evolution of the relationship. But then there is also that factor of allowing it to unfold. You are initiating But you don't generate choices for the other individual, and you can't push that. Therefore, you could try to push it, and that will move you in a direction that is uncomfortable and will likely accomplish the reverse of what you want. But if you genuinely want to nurture and evolve the relationship and maintain it, then it is a matter of expressing that allowance also in relation to how there is input and response from the other individual. And in that, being open to, but not looking for, specific responses. Therefore, not generating an expectation because you input and you implement some change, not expecting the other individual to be expressing in specific responses to that. That is that expectation of reciprocation. And when you include that in what you are doing, the other individual feels it. They receive that energy. Whether they actually objectively identify it or not, they are responsive to it, and they generally will push back. Therefore, that would be how you implement change, but also allow.
Very well. I find with myself the most challenging is having to do with the expectations, and in that, I mean, to me, the expectations are what I want the outcome to be, and I don't seem to be able to find a balance between wanting an outcome and not expecting it at every moment.
Ah, and that would be very much the same subject as the previous question. In paying attention to the process and allowing, you've already set forth what you want as an outcome. It isn't necessary for you to continue to concentrate on that. That has already been expressed. You already know what that is. What you don't know is the process to accomplish it. Therefore, it is a matter of paying attention to that process and allowing yourself to give yourself that knowledge, that experience through the process, and in that process, give yourself more choices, because you limit your choices tremendously when you are focused on the outcome. When you are focused on the end goal, then you aren't paying attention to what you may be presenting to yourself in that process, and in doing so, you limit yourself tremendously, and that creates a circle, because then you frustrate yourself and you pay attention to the feeling and you move in the direction of allowing the feeling to dictate your behavior by dictating your mood, and in doing so, it merely perpetuates this circle of then you justify that, then you focus on the outcome again, then you become frustrated again, then you stop paying attention to the process and you limit yourself, and that is irritating, and you generate these feelings, and then you generate a bad mood again, and it continues and continues and continues. Whereas, if you are paying attention to the process, and you are allowing, then you are more in the direction of giving yourself information through the experiences, and you are much more likely to be noticing more around you. Therefore, this subject is obviously about, as you expressed, what you want your relationship to be more of with your partner. And in that, if you are paying more attention to the process rather than the outcome and being continuously frustrated that the outcome isn't being accomplished, therefore, what are you concentrating on? Not accomplishing, being dissatisfied, and not enough. And that is the energy you are projecting. But if you are paying attention to the process and you aren't continuously focusing on that outcome, you are more open and more likely to be noticing what you might initially identify as small changes that your partner might be expressing that you wouldn't have noticed otherwise. In this, that turns the energy and encourages you to pay attention to what is happening rather than what isn't happening. And it encourages you to move in a direction of being more present rather than continuously projecting and anticipating what may be or what likely will be or what possibly will be. I would say that the most damaging projection is the projection of what you anticipate will be, that you expect, that the other individual is predictable and has certain behaviors, and I already know what they will express. And then they do. And then you justify that anticipation. I know this individual is emotional, or I know this individual is pessimistic, or I know this individual is fearful. Any of them. When you concentrate your attention in those capacities in which you are anticipating what the other individual will do, and you are justifying that to yourself by expressing to yourself, I know what they will do. I know them. And I have countless experiences to validate that I know them and I know what they will do. But you are setting that in motion. And what I would say to you is that you are generating self-fulfilling prophecies, which is understandable because you create your reality, and if that is what you are concentrating on, that is what you will create. But it doesn't mean that the other individual can't change an expression in any moment, they can. You can. Both of you can. If you aren't expecting or anticipating the other individual to express in a particular manner, but being, once again, open and allowing for that possibility, and not automatically expressing to yourself that justification. If you attempt it once and the other individual expresses in the manner that you expected, it is also a matter of recognizing that just as much as it is challenging for you to change, it is challenging for them to change also. And in that, what I would express to you in summation of all of this is the base of it all is what is the most important to you. Is that end goal important to you? Is that very important to you? If it is, then paying attention to the process is an important factor to engage. If it is important to you that you not continue to generate what you are accustomed to and what you are familiar with, and to change that, then change what you are doing. Change what you are concentrating on. Change what actions you are engaging. And that will change what the outcome is. But also, I would definitely encourage you to be patient. Patience, when you genuinely are expressing it, doesn't require significant time frameworks. When you aren't genuinely expressing it, you may be waiting because you aren't actually allowing, you are waiting. And you may be waiting for considerable amounts of time. But when you are actually genuinely allowing, being patient, generally speaking, you create change relatively quickly. That doesn't mean tomorrow, but I would say realistically that within a time framework of a month and one half, you will begin seeing obvious changes if you are moving in that genuine direction and you genuinely are allowing. And relatively speaking, a month and one half is a very short amount of time.
Thank you.
You're very welcome, my friend.
Okay, Elias, I have a couple of questions. This is Elena. Dina?
Yes?
Here's Henry VIII of Ogus of Mine. Are you there?
I am.
Observing. you confirmed what I suspected. The other question is, are you the same ghost that started the forum?
Yes.
You are? Is that another aspect of you?
I would express, yes, it is the same. And I appreciate your terminology of the ghost.
Okay, I have one more question. How can I tell, as in clue, that what I feel in my body is mine or somebody else's?
Excellent question. What I would say to you is first an acknowledgement that you recognize that all feelings are generated by your body. Now, it is not that the feeling is some outside source or someone else's. The feelings are all yours because your body creates them. You don't feel something from someone else's body. And let me clarify that because I'm aware that individuals generate experiences, physical experiences, in which they feel a physical manifestation or pain or irritation that may be the same as another individual is experiencing, and they automatically will express, I took that from the other individual. They took the energy, or they took a part of the energy, because you are constantly receiving energies from other individuals and outside sources, and you can translate that in your body in the same or similar manners to other individuals. Now, the difference between whether you take in energy, whether you receive energy and you translate it by generating some type of signal, some feeling, or whether it is a feeling that is being generated by you, is in the statement. Remember, feelings are signals. Whether you are receiving energy from some outside source, or whether it is your own energy that you are generating, your body produces feelings as signals to alert you. Remember, feelings are very much the same as traffic signals. They aren't the message. They are merely a signal to alert you that there is a message. And the message is always, always about what you are doing in the moment. Therefore, how do you know the difference between an energy that you are receiving from some other source or an energy that you are generating yourself? By what that statement is. Meaning, the statement is about what you are doing. Therefore, if you are receiving energy from another individual or another source, that is the statement you will generate to yourself. This is an outside source. Now, you might not be clear in how to discern that. Many individuals are not, and I acknowledge that. Therefore, there is, in a manner of speaking, a cheat sheet that you can use in relation to this. When you are generating feelings and you are not certain whether it is about you or whether it is about something outside of you, if you can ask yourself if this feeling is associated with anything that has been occurring around you or with you within a 24-hour period. And if you cannot find a source, if you cannot find any reason for the feeling that you are experiencing, and if it is not ongoing, that is a clue, then you can express to yourself that it is likely that you may be receiving energy from some outside source and you are reacting to it. And in that, how can you be sure? Because if you identify an energy as being an outside source energy and you actually define that, you identify it, you can stop it. You can express, this is not my energy. No. And it will stop. That is the cheat sheet. If you cannot discern how to recognize what your own message is about what you are doing, if you cannot find that message, you don't have to find the message. You can identify, I see no reason for this feeling. I have no motivation for this feeling. I cannot find a source for this, no matter what I am looking at. And if you identify this is an outside energy, this energy doesn't belong to me, and you merely say enough or no, I'm not participating with this, it will go away. It will stop because it isn't yours. The feeling is yours, but the energy isn't yours. And you can expel that immediately. That is the difference. You cannot always do that with your own feelings because it is your energy. Therefore, you cannot always dispel your own feelings instantaneously, but you can with other energy. It will immediately stop.
That's very helpful. Thank you so much.
You are very welcome, my friend.
So we have, this is the moderator here. We have about 5-7 minutes left, just to let you know whoever goes next.
Hi, this is my first time here. I really appreciate your work, Elias. I am from Mexico City. I have a very basic questions. The first one is, if you can tell me what is my essence name.
One moment. Essence name. Kafka. K-A-F-F-K-A.
Thank you. And the second one is my family.
And your impression?
I have tried to do an exercise on this, maybe blue, because many things are blue in my life. But I also love the green a lot. And if I take a looking inside each color, I will appreciate everyone a lot. So at the end, I get a little bit lost.
I would express that you are correct, my friend, although I would reverse it. I would express that you are belonging to the family of Ilta, and you are aligned in this focus with the family of Sumari.
Thank you. Ilda.
Ilda.
Okay, thank you very much.
You are very welcome, my friend, and welcome.
Thank you. I really love all this stuff.
Music. I actually have a tremendous appreciation for music, although I would not necessarily express that I listen to it because I don't incorporate physical senses, and therefore there is no auditory experience. But I am quite appreciative of music. As to essence name, one moment. Essence name, Elwis. ELLIOUSE. You are very welcome.
So cool. Hi, Elias. This is Linda in Kingston.
Welcome.
Thank you. I also love all this stuff and listen to you all the time. I just have a quick question about my essence name. I keep thinking I have it, but I don't get any confirmation from myself that it's correct.
And your impression?
I thought it was like Nage or Snow or something like that, but it does. I guess that's just too basic. <I will.
laughs> One moment. Sydney.
Sydney. Never
would have
got that.
Let me acknowledge you, my friend. For the most part, when individuals are attempting to identify an essence name, what you are most likely to tap into are other focus names, for they are very close in memory to you.
Okay.
Therefore, if you have different names that come to you that seem to merely appear, it is very likely that those are names that you have held in other focuses.
Okay. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Unmuted. Hi, Elias. This is Cammy. Thank you very much for all the answers to the great questions that have been asked today.
You are very welcome.
The last couple of weeks or months, given the fact that you told me via Lila that I was fragmented, I am fragmented from Rose, Daniel, and Shai, I'm wondering what the relationship with my son and Rose is. My son is Peter. He's 23 years old, born in 1994.
I would express that he incorporates actually many focuses with this essence. Therefore, there is a tremendous familiarity.
Thank you.
You are very welcome.
But does he have a relationship with Rose as well? Or is it the familiarity?
That is a relationship that they have incorporated many experiences together by sharing many focuses together.
Yeah. Thank
you. You are very welcome.
Any final last questions from anybody?
Very well. I shall greatly be anticipating our next meeting, and I express a genuine and wondrous lovingness to each one of you, and tremendous encouragement in each of your endeavors and in each of your journeys, that what may seem to be a struggle at points is perhaps not as difficult as you may perceive it to be. Relax and be encouraged that you are moving more than you realize. I express tremendous encouragement to each of you. And in dear affection and friendship, au revoir.